heaven and earth. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. With wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven. I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, you are holy. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty, you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Good morning. Good to see everybody today, and welcome, a special welcome here for our worship service, an exciting day with the two baptisms that we get to have for Oliver and Evelyn, who, if you don't know, they are first cousins. Oliver's mom, Kylie, and Evelyn's dad, Trevor, are brother and sister. So exciting that we can do this together today on a beautiful day. And welcome to family up here and some seated in back as well. God bless you for being here on a very important day. I have some announcements to go over before we go on with our worship service. Soup Kitchen coming up the first Saturday in December. There's still spaces for sign-up, times to work, things to bring. Today's the last day that the sign-up sheets will be out there, and then the committee will look through everything. And so if your name's not on there, then you might get a phone call. Hey, could you bring this or that or the other thing? So the women do a lot of mission work throughout the year with the donations from the soup kitchen. So it's an important part of what they do. This evening is our youth rally at 6:30. We're very excited about it. There'll be lots of young people there. It's open for all ages. So whatever age you are welcome to come 6:30. The youth band is from Armor, and we have Josh Brewer as our speaker from Lifelight. A lot of you probably went to the big Lifelight outdoor concerts in your years, so we're blessed to be able to have Josh a part of this. The flowers, well, the dozen roses over by the memory light there, those are given by the Menno FCCLA here at the high school. Mr. Stabner brought them by last night and said that coming up is National Family Week, November 21st through the 27th. So I believe they gave a dozen roses to each church. So thank you to our high school students that are in FCCLA. Meals on Wheels, our church delivers those in December. There's a calendar out on the bulletin board there in the narthex, so if you can help with that, please do. Christmas Eve program, it's going to be here before we know it. Your children should have been given parts this morning in their Sunday school classes, so if they didn't get one, then ask them about it. Make sure you have it. Please try to work with them on that before practices start. Just makes everything go smoother, which the last Sunday of this month will be the first Christmas program practice as it's planned. And on that, there's sign-up sheets, still items that are needed for the lunches. We serve them three lunches during that time. Couple other things. Since we have the new floor, then that means we don't need the old buffer. So if you need a floor buffer, then now's your chance. It's out there against the west wall in the social hall by silent bids for the next couple weeks. So put your name on it and what you think you would like to give for it. The extension cord's probably worth something. It's a big, thick one, about that thick around on that deal. Also, library books out there on that table. If you want some, please take those. So the rest of the announcements I will let you read as you have time to do so. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of coming before your throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. For you, Lord God, are the Lord of all creation. You are the God of wonders, certainly beyond our galaxy. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And you are our creator. And Father, you have knit us each together in our mother's wombs, fearfully and wonderfully made, your word tells us. And so we're excited to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're excited for the baptisms today and the families that are here. Father, most of all, we are excited to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we do so with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We ask that you would fill this place with your glory and your power as we worship you, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together. We'll sing number 104. O Worship the King, 104.
Thank you.
Amen. And so it is. Well, please take a moment and greet those around you before you are seated. Yeah, you too.
Morning,
Trevor. Morning. All right, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. I have several things written down. First, certainly our prayers all week have been for the community of Scotland and the families there and here who've lost loved ones in that tragedy. We want to continue to be lifting them in prayer. Also the care center over there as they lost employees during that deal as well. So we lift them up to the Lord. Marvin Gehring, he had a biopsy recently and was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he got word about his treatment that he shared with me yesterday, which is no treatment for now. So it's very, very slow growing. So we thank the Lord for that. They caught it at a very early stage. So they'll just be watching it. Amen. Glenda Walker, Mary Lee's daughter, continued prayers for her. She's in the hospital and I don't know if it's really swing bed. Is it called swing bed at this point? Okay. So as she had to have that second hip surgery. So be lifting up Glenda. Marlon Holsworth is home and coming along.
Yeah, doing really well.
Good.
Thanks for all prayers.
You're welcome. Kevin says thanks for all the prayers. He's doing well. For Pat and Lee Palmerville, Pat had some days in the hospital again this last week with trouble breathing and fluid on the lungs. She went in Wednesday, came home Friday, went back in yesterday, came back home yesterday evening. They're hoping the plan is she'll go back in on Monday where they'll try to take more fluid off again. So just, we are all praying for them. They've had a tough, tough go here these last months. Elton Herbolt and Myrna, I don't think he's here today that I noticed, but yesterday was his 91st birthday, and Myrna's comes in December, but Monday, the 22nd of November, so not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, will be their 70th wedding anniversary. So make sure you get them some cards. That's pretty amazing. Okay. Otherwise, Michael Nuss is having surgery on his knee this Wednesday to repair or replace a tendon, something like that. Austin Pillsbury's having surgery on his upper wrist. A bone that was fractured there. On Tuesday, he's having surgery. So two of our high schoolers there. The last thing I have, I believe, in regard to Irene Quast, she'd been in our care center here at Menno for 14 years, and she was 104. She passed away earlier this week. Her funeral will be tomorrow at Grace Lutheran Church here in town at 10:30. So that would have been Lee's, your aunt, right? Lee Herbolt's aunt, yeah. So prayers for the family there. Anything else? On this side. Yes, Tricia. Okay. Thank you. All right, Tricia Fisher, she's the counselor, guidance counselor at our school. She was over there at Scotland 3 days this last week, and she's saying students and staff need a lot of prayer. Yeah, I believe it's the same at the care center with the staff there too. Okay, over here, anybody? Okay, all right, let's bow our heads then. Father, thank you that we can come before your throne 24/7. Lord, you tell us to rejoice in the Lord, to pray always. And we do, we are always in that attitude of prayer, but we thank you for this time that we can come together in a more focused time of prayer. Lord, we do lift up the community of Scotland, the families, again, who lost loved ones. the school system over there, the students and the staff, the care center, the staff, the residents, Lord, family here in our community, in our own church. You are the God of all comfort, and we need your comfort during this time, in a time where things just don't make sense, that are hard to comprehend, hard to wrap our mind around it. But Father, we thank you for your mercies and your grace and your goodness that you provided a way through these difficult times, and you provide the only way to heaven through your Son, Jesus Christ. So thank you for all that are working and ministering during this time and in the time to come, Lord, especially. Thank you for these, Glenda Walker, as she recovers from her surgery, and Pat Palmerville and Lee. We just lift them up to you going through all these very difficult times. Be their strength, Lord, and thank you that you are the great physician. We pray for Marvin Gehring, and thank you for the good news with his biopsy. We thank you for your power at work there. We lift up Michael Nuss and Austin Pillsbury as they each have surgery scheduled this coming week. Thank you for being with the surgeons, for guiding their hands and helping that to go well and the recovery time to go well. We lift up Elton and Myrna Herbolt, Lord, and Elton's got some struggles going on right now in his body. We thank you for healing there. We thank you, Lord, as we rejoice with them in their upcoming 70th wedding anniversary. For the family of Irene Quast, we pray for them as they gather tomorrow to celebrate her life, 104 years on this earth. That's pretty incredible. We thank you, Lord, for being with them, ministering to them. And Father, as always, we pray for our nation, asking you to pour out your Spirit upon us, to turn the hearts and the lives and minds of the nation to you and to your word. We pray for our troops as they serve so faithfully. Thank you for protecting them, for your goodness, Lord. In so many ways, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness, illogical to those who are perishing and are spiritual dead because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God." And yes, it is. Thank God for the gospel. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do lift our voices in praise to you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the triune God, that you live within us by your Spirit. You bless us with strength and life and health. You give us jobs to work, to bring in income. And so we bring the first fruits of that to you, Lord. So we put it in the offering box, not just dropping money in a box, but sowing seed into your kingdom. For you are our provider and you are our source. And we thank you for it. So we ask, Father, that you take these gifts and bless them for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the families with the baptism want to come up and the sponsors, you can, please. Let's see, Kylie, I'll pray if you and Tyler come over here first, since we'll do Oliver first. And okay, and the sponsors, you can stand. Yep, you can come there. Okay, what an exciting day, and they're both awake. Somebody asked if I was carrying them both down during the song. I said, if they're both awake, I don't think so. Well, Evelyn's a little wiggle worm. For sure. So here we have Oliver right here, and his parents are Tyler and Kylie. And just I always try to share a little bit about them. A lot of you know them, maybe not everybody. Tyler works for construction company out of Mitchell. Is it Pitts? That's how you say it? Pitts Construction. They did a lot of that new addition on our school here a couple years back, whatever it's been. And Kylie works in Tyndall as the radiology manager at the hospital there. And then their sponsors, Troy is Tyler's brother, and Kaylee is Kylie's sister. So, and they are not married to each other, just so you know. Then we have Evelyn over here. And so Trevor works at the co-op in Lesterville and also runs Trev's Corner there in Lesterville. And Nicole works at the Human Services Center in Yankton. And their sponsors, this is Nicole's brother, Zachary, and his wife, Ashley, and what?
Cohen.
All right, good to have you. So thanks for being up here as godparents. I do have to say, so Oliver, his middle name is August, and that comes from his great-great-grandpa Byerly's middle name. And Evelyn, yawning on me already, Evelyn is from her great-great-grandmother Byerly's first name. So those two great-great-grandparents were husband and wife. So that's pretty cool as well. All right, I want to read from Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So I have the vows, four questions that have gone over with the parents a week ago, a little over a week ago. But I will ask all of you now, these are promises that you're making before God on behalf of these little ones. The first one is, do you desire to have your children baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism, that we are actually dedicating Oliver and Evelyn unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. Will you instruct and encourage these children to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach them the word of God so that they may be led to profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And last, do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with these children in the Christian faith, to help these children to be faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that they may affirm their baptisms? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. So we'll have a response on the screen here I'll read the first part and the congregation can respond. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to these precious children about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as they grow in their knowledge of Christ? We promise our love, and we have a pledge from the Christian Education Committee that Melanie Walter is going to read for us.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Oliver and Evelyn can be taught the Word of God, where they can grow up spiritually, and where they can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as their Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We'd like to present Oliver and Evelyn and their families with these baptism candles. And we also have little children's first Bibles to give to Oliver and Evelyn in hopes that their love for God's Word will begin at an early age.
Okay, thank you, Melanie. And I forgot to mention Trace when I was doing all the introductions. He's in kindergarten, right? Oliver's big brother. Sorry about that, Trace. Okay, I'm going to baptize Oliver first. Hi. Okay. All right. If you want to come over here closer, you can, Trace and the family. Yeah. Oliver August Hollinsworth, as we are here today to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I know it. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise you. So we lift this little blessing up to you before your throne, August. Such a precious gift to this family. Lord, as you knit him together so wonderfully and perfectly within the womb, and here he is, certainly had his challenges in these early months of his life. But Father, you are faithful, and you have brought him through, and you continue to do a mighty work within his body. Every part of his body, Lord, especially we pray for his lungs, his breathing apparatus, as it were, for every organ and cell that they just continue to grow and develop as you designed them to, Lord. Thank you for the joy that he has brought already to the family and friends. We thank you for your hand of protection upon him. And Tyler and Kylie and Trace and the family, give them wisdom, fill them with your spirit as they endeavor to bring him up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and let him grow strong in you and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, thank you for your blessings upon him. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll give him back to... Okay. Got him?
Yep.
And I'll give you that for now. Okay, Evelyn, if you guys want to step over here. Okay, look at you. You saw how this is all going to work, right? Oop. Yeah? That's okay. Okay. It's okay. Yeah, I know. She's going to start her wiggling. You ready? Evelyn Lee Monkfold, as we are here to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism. Get that up there. I now baptize you. You're going to squirm out of my arms, huh? In the name of the Father. Oh, it's okay. And the Son. and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. There you go. Lord Jesus, thank you for this precious little girl here, Evelyn. Evelyn Lee Monkfold, and we lift her up to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the spunk you put within her already. And Lord, I know you have great plans for her and Olive, for both. And I lift her up to you and ask the same blessings upon her, her little body that is so precious, that you do your work, the power of your Spirit within her, through every organ and cell and muscle and tissue within this little body, to grow and develop according to your will and plan and purpose. Thank you for blessing Trevor and Nicole with this gift, this precious gift, and bless their home as they endeavor to bring her up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving your angels charge over both of these families to guard and keep them in all of their ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Kylie's going to help. Oh, Tyler, I guess, is coming down with me, right? We'll bring him down and we'll sing Jesus Loves You to both of them. Okay, you can just sort of go behind me, I guess.
Jesus loves you, yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
There you go. I'll get your certificate here. Okay, thank you all, and congratulations. There you go. You can be seated. The little guys can just sit on the steps here if you want for the Kingdom Kids time. The children can come, please, for that. I'll give you this now. Here
you go. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. After church, yeah. Okay, kids, come on down.
Oh. Hi. Yeah. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all today? Yeah, you can sit right down there, okay? You can sit down, okay? Right there. There you go. Well, how many of you like to play kickball? Who likes to play kickball? A lot of you do. Do you like to play it? Yeah. I do too. That's a fun game that we like to play with the confirmation kids. How about volleyball? Who likes to play volleyball? Yeah. How about, what else do you like to play? Basketball? Tag?
Tag.
Soccer? Football? Flag football. Lots of things we like to play, don't we? Well, how do you know, like, it's recess, and then you're going to play a game, and somebody says, okay, let's pick and be captains. And who wants to be the captain of the team? All of us do, right? We all raise our hands, and we say, I want to be the captain, right? But how many get to be the captain? Just you two. Two people, a captain for this team and a captain for this team. And then what do they do? they pick boys and girls to be on their team, right? And if you're the boy and girl that's not the captain, what do? You go like this, right? Pick me, right? I want to be on your team. Pick me. And then, you know what happens? What happens if you play really good and you're really fast and everybody really likes you, you usually get picked first, right? And we all like that, don't we? But maybe you're not as fast as somebody else, or you don't play it all the time, it's not your favorite sport, and then you might get picked last. Well, we all want to get picked first, right? We do. And do we want to get picked last? Any of you want to get picked last? No, we don't, do we? We don't. Well, what do you think if God was the captain? How would he pick? Would he say, I pick you because you look really good and you know how to play this sport, and I'm not going to pick you yet because you're not as fast? Do you think God would do that? No, he wouldn't. I think God would say, I pick all of you at the same time. Is that pretty cool? It's kind of hard for our brain, isn't it, to think about that. How can he do that? You know how? Because he's God, and he can do anything. But I think that's how God is, because he says, I love you all, and I pick all of you. I want you to be on my team. Do we want to be on God's team? Yes, we do. We do want to be on God's team. And God tells us, okay, then this is what I want you to do. In Matthew chapter 22, somebody asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What does God want us to do when we're on his team? What does he want us to do? Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So what's the first thing God wants us to do when we're on his team? Love him. Second thing is this, and the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. So what's our second thing God wants us to do? Love others. And that means to boys and girls, be kind, be nice, listen to your parents, show others that you love Jesus, all those kind of things. And then God can use us mightily. Well, you know, today's story, that Mike's going to talk to us about, is about two people that God called. First, he called a woman named Deborah. And this was a time, again, when the Israelites turned against God and the enemy came in, took them over again, just like we've been hearing about. But there was this woman, Deborah, and she loved God. And she did not do the bad things. So God chose her to be the judge and to be the leader over the Israelites. And God told her, Deborah, I want you to get Barak. You call Barak. I want you to talk to him. This is what I want you to say. And Barak, he was the army guy. He was the general of the Israelites, so he was the fighter. God told Deborah, tell Barak, I want you, Barak, to take your army and to go out there. And you go face the enemy, the Canaanites, and I'm going to fight for you. Well, guess what? Deborah did what she was supposed to do. She told Barak to do this, and guess what Barak said? No. He said, no. I know, I can't believe it, can you? He said, no, I'm not going to do it unless, Deborah, you go with me. You go with me out there with the army to face them, then I'll go. Wow. I'm just not going to tell you the rest of the story. I'm going to let Pastor Mike do it. Do you think that the Israelites won the battle, or do you think the enemy won the battle? What do you think? You think the Israelites did with Jesus, right? I think you could be right. Deborah was on the right team. She obeyed God and did what he wants her to do. Barak didn't, so we'll hear about what happened to him. But, boys and girls, God calls all of us, and he wants to use all of us. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've made all these beautiful children, and we thank you that you've called them by name. You know them, and you want them to be on your team forever and ever. You want them to love you and to love others. Help us remember to do that as children and as adults. Be with these boys and girls and let their light shine for you wherever they go. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you can get your papers. Okay.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Anne. So we're going to sing in the hymnal, the Jesus Loves You, Loves Me, has three verses to it. So we're going to sing the second and third verses of that while the children go back to their seats. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me on my way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love for each one of us that is so incredible. Father, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so, Father, we do believe in you. We thank you for the measure of faith that you have put into our hearts, and that that faith grows as we listen to your word, as we learn your word, as we apply your word in our everyday lives. So, Lord, we set our minds upon you. Help us to focus on what you have for us this morning, your power that is greater than all. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me by the power of your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read from chapter 32 through verse 34. That's what we're working through, part of this anyway, right now. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And then it goes on further. Take time to read the rest of the chapter as you have. For those visiting, we've been working through this Hebrews 11 chapter for, this is our 19th Sunday, so piece by piece. Today we're going to look at Deborah and Barak. If you have time later, read through Judges chapter 4 and 5. I'll be reading parts of those. But here, and you have your outline in your bulletin as well, these last verses we've seen when the children of Israel were up against the Red Sea, when they feel trapped, God will make a way. Then we looked at Jericho. When you face a mountain, God will make a way. Next, when you feel like you failed, that was Rahab, God will make a way. Last Sunday, when your own strength is not enough, that was Gideon, God will make a way. In this list, what I read today in Hebrews 11, those first four names were judges. There were 12 judges in all that ruled after Joshua had died in the time period before the first king came up, which was Saul, the first king of Israel. So 12 judges ruling during that time period. Almost every time, if you read through the book of Judges, you will see this phrase, after the judge dies, the people are sort of left on their own, and this is the phrase, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. I have some references there in the outline, 8 of them to be exact. 8 times we see that phrase mentioned. I'm not saying that's all. I didn't read through all the book of Judges again this last week. But just quickly, I found 8 times where God says that. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What evil? What does that mean? It means sins that are done willfully with no respect for God, no fear of his judgments. The children of Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What's that? The eyes of the Lord. Could mean in broad daylight, sinning proudly without shame. They would get into that pattern, fall away from God, start worshiping all the Baals. Those were the false gods. And then an enemy would overtake them. That's always what happened. That was always the cycle. Still what happens today. When God would raise up a judge, they would enjoy peace for his rule. One guy named Ehud, who was before Barak and Deborah, he ruled for 80 years, the Bible says, and they enjoyed peace in the land. But when they enjoy peace in the land, guess what happens? Peace, prosperity, we get comfortable. Oh, we have it so good. We have it very good in America, don't we? We have it so good. What do we need God for? Oh, we're doing all this ourselves, all these great and wonderful things that we have today. We've done it all ourselves. That can be the attitude. What do we need God for? And so he gets pushed aside. The culture, the society departs from him more and more. And then we see the process in the book of Judges. So let's start here on with the next judge. God will make a way, letter A, if you're filling in blanks, when he uses unlikely heroes. When he uses unlikely heroes, and that's going to be Deborah, as we're going to see. So I'm going back to Judges chapter 4. I want to read the first couple of verses. It says, after Ehud died, he was one of the previous judges for 80 years, as I just said. The Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Now, there's a lot of towns and stuff in here, so I wasn't going to pull up the map and try and show them all to you, but I'll tell you some places in a little bit. The commander of his army was Sisera. So if you remember these names at least, all right? You got Deborah, who was judge. You have the commander of her army, who was Barak. Then you have the enemy, King Jabin of the Canaanites, and you have the commander of his army, who was Sisera, all right? The commander of his army was Sisera because he had 900 iron chariots. Now, in that day, that was quite an army, 900 iron chariots. And he had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. Here's Deborah. She's the first unlikely hero. God will make a way when he uses unlikely heroes. Well, that would be all of us, I would say. Certainly is me. He uses us. He was going to use Deborah. She was number one. She was a prophetess. That was very unusual in that era. Didn't see that hardly at all. There's another one in the Old Testament we called Huldah, referred to as a prophetess. We see Anna when Jesus was born, a prophetess. We later see Philip had 4 daughters that prophesied. So we do see it, but it was very uncommon. She was a prophetess. Secondly, she was a wife, very likely a mother. Does not tell us that she was barren, so we assume, I don't have scripture on it, we could assume she was a mother. Thirdly, she was a judge. The Bible said she was leading Israel. God was using her to do that. She was the only female judge out of the 12 that ruled over those 300 years approximately in that time. So here's what she does. Remember the Canaanites? They're oppressing them. Last week when we looked at Gideon, we saw it was the Midianites. They were cruelly oppressing them for years. Here are the Canaanites. They're oppressing them. So she sent for Barak, that's the commander of the army, for Barak in Naphtali. And she said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." Here she's stepping into that role as prophetess. She's speaking for the Lord. "Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera." Remember, he's the commander of the enemy army. "I'm going to lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots." How many? Thank you. Making sure you're with me. Not dozing in the back there. "With his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Okay. So this part I got to talk a little about. So this is in northwestern Israel, all right? You got two tribes of Israel, two of the 12, Naphtali and Zebulun. Deborah, by the Spirit of God, is telling Barak, "You round up 10,000 men from those two tribes, and we're going to go to battle." So northwestern Israel, this Kishon River actually starts in Mount Gilboa. Just northwestern Israel, it flows, it runs down in what's called the Jezreel Valley, the river. It goes, and then it goes out into the Mediterranean Sea. However, you got to know this part about it. It's a very small river. A lot of times through the summer months, it is dry. Important to know that. Because God has a plan here. We're going to see, letter A, Deborah's faith and courage. She is a strong woman of faith and courage, in contrast to the commander of her army, Barak, who's not real courageous. So Barak says to Deborah, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going." "Very well," Deborah said, "I'll go with you. But because of the way you are going about this," in other words, she was not pleased. He was not impressing her. "Because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours." The honor of what? The honor of the victory. "For the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." Now in that day, that was like, what? I mean, those guys were, if they were macho of macho of macho men, they were it. Nothing was going to stop them. "For him to hear that, the honor's not going to be yours, but the Lord will hand over the victory and the honor of it to a woman." Surprised he didn't stop in his tracks right there, but whatever, he didn't. He didn't. Another translation, as it says, from Deborah speaking to him, "I'm warning you that the Lord is going to let a woman defeat Sisera, and no one will honor you for winning that battle." The second unlikely hero, I'll give you her name now. It's another woman. Her name is Jael, J-A-E-L, if you're filling in. J-A-E-L, Jael. And we'll see later on here how God uses her. Unlikely heroes. He uses us in incredible ways all the time. He uses you. How could I go through it all? I think of our first responders. Boy, after this last week, you never want to have to deal with a situation like that. To come upon a deal that it just incredibly difficult, and to see what they had to see and deal with it. First responders, firefighters, heroes, our healthcare professionals, heroes, our teachers, our counselors, our whatever you do in your job, God uses you in very unlikely ways. We had a person here Friday afternoon just getting some measurements on the countertops in the kitchen, getting some estimates, okay? And so Shirley and I were here. This was sort of cool. Don't mean to tell on you, Shirley, as quiet as Shirley is. So we were there. He was doing his stuff, and we were chit-chatting, and we didn't really know anything much about his life or background other than he had this business. So as we were sort of wrapping up, then Shirley says, "We're having a youth rally, young guy, having a youth rally here at church Sunday night. Why don't you come?" I thought, good for you, Shirley. Invite him. So we'll see if he comes. He didn't tell us. He uses unlikely heroes. Next, letter B. God will make a way when he works in unexpected ways. He does it all the time. When he works in unexpected ways. Let's go on to chapter 4, Judges, verse 12. So the troops are gathered, the 10,000 troops, all right? They're up there. Barak has them up, going up Mount Tabor. Here's the verse. It says, so when they told Sisera, he's the enemy army commander, right? When they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Hagesh Hagoyim, whatever, to the Kishon River. All right. This was the plan of God. He said, I read earlier through Deborah, he said, I'm going to lead Sisera and his army to the Kishon River. I told you, normally it's dry. It was dry at this time. So no problem for Sisera in his mind, commander of that army, 900 iron chariots and all the troops. But they had to get him there. So here's the trick. Barak is acting like he's in retreat. He's going up Mount Tabor with his 10,000 men. They tell Sisera what's happening. Sisera's like, let's go get him. They get out there to the riverbed of the Kishon River. And Deborah is up there with Barak on Mount Tabor. And when they come to the river, she says, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled. And all the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Okay. This is what's happening. Let's talk about those 900 iron chariots first. That would be like an army today, well, in recent years, we'll say, with 900 chariots going against battle, an army with zero chariots, just foot soldiers. I mean, what an incredible advantage. 900 chariots plus the thousands of men, which we're not told how many thousand, but commentaries feel since it didn't say the number, it had to be a multitude of foot soldiers too. When God gets him down there, guess what he does? He brings a thunderstorm. He brings a thunderstorm and a downpour. It starts, you'd have to go to Judges 5 and to get all of that part. I read 4 and 5. Just a couple verses from Judges 5, it says, as this is after the victory, and Deborah's singing a song of praise to the Lord, she says this, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. And if you jump over to verse 20, it says this of chapter 5, from the heavens the stars fought, from their courses they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon, here you go, swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. God works in unexpected ways. Who would have ever imagined those iron chariots were getting stuck in that flash flood that was coming? That's why Sisera had to, had to abandon the chariot and take off on foot, running. God had a plan. When they were so outnumbered, he did it. It's amazing the unexpected ways that he works in. I had a letter just this week from somebody, I won't say who or the details, but this guy said, he said, I was up at whatever hour of the night, I couldn't sleep, so I just thought, I'm going to write Pastor Mike a letter. And I know the person well. I'm going through about the last 2 or 3 years of all the, you could say, tragedies, difficult things that happened, very difficult things that happened, and how after the fact, God turned them all for good. Every single one, and he listed them all out in there. It was so cool to see in unexpected ways, ways you would never think of at all. We had something happen, and I won't say, well, I don't know who. I'll try to make this vague as I can. Just a week and a half ago, or 2 weeks barely, I was home for lunch. I was probably brushing my teeth, getting ready to come back, and Ann comes in. I always come usually in the garage door and in. She came in the front door, and she's like, what's this? I'm like, I don't know. What is it? Well, it was left in the front door of the parsonage. And all I will say, it was not signed. There was a card with it. And it was a gift that we have not received in all of our years of ministry. I will just say that. And we were in tears. I will say that. And we just got down at our bedside and knelt in prayer. And Lord, you know who this is. We don't. We ask you to bless them. Thank you for such a gift that words can hardly describe. He works in unexpected ways. And so he does. Going on in Judges chapter 4, verse 17. So Sisera, he fled on foot to the tent of Jael. Okay, Jael was the wife of Heber, who was another king that was friends of Sisera and Jabin, all right? So Sisera thinks, I'm going to go to Jabin, my buddy. I'm going to hide in his tent for safety. And so the wife is there, and her name is Jael. Comes to the tent. Jael went out to meet Sisera, and she said to him, come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid. He entered her tent. She put a covering over him. He says, I'm thirsty. Please give me a drink of water. She opens up a skin of milk. I believe warmed it up, even though it doesn't say that, but you all know what warm milk can do. Right? Get you a good nap. Sisera says, stand in the doorway of the tent. If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here? Say no. But Jael, Heber's wife, picks up the tent peg and the hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. This isn't too pleasant what happens next. And she drove that tent peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. That's how God delivered Sisera into the hand of a woman. Now, they say, too, commentaries of that time, that the women were responsible for the tents and putting them up and taking them down. Now, you know, they were strong women. How long that peg was? Well, it had to be pretty long. You know, they had wind, too. If you've ever put tents up, we did all the time with the Navajos when we'd have revival meetings. We'd put tents up for a week at a time. Those spikes, they were half of an axle that long. You'd pound into the ground with a big old sledgehammer. Well, guess what? Jael was a pretty good aim. She only had one shot at it, and she knew it. Bam! The others come. Where's Sisera? They go in the tent, and there he is, nailed to the ground. God delivered him into the hand of a woman. Last, real quick here. So God, yeah, he uses unlikely heroes. He works in unexpected ways. He receives all the glory. He does. That's the letter C. And just real quick, if you read through chapter 4 and 5, you will see this. Verses 6 and 7. Deborah says, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. It's about him. Verse 9, the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Verse 15, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera. Verse 23, on that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites. In chapter 5, if you read through it, you see the praises to the Lord God Almighty. He works in ways we can never imagine. So all of these accounts, we've seen it. He does. He does it again and again. I love that there's a contemporary song on the Christian radio. I hear it. I don't even know the name of it. Maybe Ann does. But part of the chorus says, do what you are famous for. Do what you are famous for. Do you know the name of the song? The famous one? Okay, I don't know. Maybe you hear it. But I love how that chorus goes. God, do what you're famous for. Oh, he's famous for miracles then and today too. He's famous for so much. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for all the unexpected ways you work in each of our lives here. We've all been up against a wall where we have felt trapped. We've all been against the mountain where we thought there was no way around it or through it. We've all felt that we are inadequate. Lord, and so much more, that we aren't strong enough, but in you, we are. In you, Jesus, we can do all things. It's all because of you and you alone. Thank you for these encouraging words to us today. Whatever we face, whatever we are facing, in our homes, in our communities, in our nation, Lord, you move in unexpected ways. And we know you are, and you will, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 368, this is sort of an Easter hymn, but he lives. We celebrate Easter every day, don't we? He lives, I know he lives. Let's stand together as we sing this one. I serve a risen Savior, who saved the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He is. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Oh.
so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today.
Got carried away and sang the wrong words. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Well, we always sing as a prayer for our nation, God bless America. So we will sing that now. May be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music today. Have a wonderful day. Remember the youth rally tonight, 6:30.